chapter 2, I want to talk about six demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's power. Six demonstrations of the Spirit's power. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superior eloquence or wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what things no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these are the things that God has prepared for those of us who love Him, and God has revealed it to us by His Holy Spirit." Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come minister. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people that you love so much. Thank you for your presence with us. Father, I pray that we would encounter you this morning through the ministry of your word as we lift up the cross of Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, and if your heart agrees, just say amen and amen. I have a question from the Lord this morning. Have you experienced the Holy Spirit's power in your life? My pastor used to tell me two things about people. First, he always used to say to me, "Glenn, there is nothing funnier than people." And then he used to say to me, "No matter how well you think you know someone, you will always still learn something about them that surprises you." And you know, that's true. For instance, you probably don't know that my favorite snack is sourdough pretzels. You know, the fat beer pretzels. And my favorite thing to eat with pretzels is chocolate ice cream. Because, you know, the salt and the sweet, they just go really well together. You probably also don't know about me that I adore body surfing. Nothing else makes me feel like a kid again, like riding in the waves. How many fellow body surfers do I have here in the room? All right, Tim, you're a body surfer. Adam, you're a body surfer. On our summer vacations, I have taught all of my kids how to body surf. Actually, they started out riding on my back, and then little by little, they learned how to catch waves for themselves. And body surfing is one of those things that is more caught than taught. You know, it's not much fun before you nail your first wave. You paddle along in the surf a little bit, and you wonder, okay, well, what's the big deal? But everything changes the first time that you experience the raw power of the ocean pick you up entirely and just propel you forward through the surf like a missile. The water just boils all around your body like a jet stream. And not for nothing, you better make sure your drawstring is tied tight, because otherwise your shorts might stay in the deep water where you were while you wash up in the shallow water. Jesus save the church. I loved watching my kids' excitement the first time that they caught a wave and they were like, okay, now we get it. And I have to tell you the truth, it's addicting. Once you catch a wave like that, you want to do it again and again and again. Even Denise, who is not at all a fan of the ocean, can't help herself since she has learned how to catch waves. That kind of reminds me of people in church who are having two very different experiences. Hopefully, most of us here at Harvest Time know what it means to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, to be overwhelmed by Him, to be overcome by Him, to be enthralled by Him. We have been born again by the indescribable work of the Holy Spirit. The wind of God has blown over us, and it has radically recreated us inside. But others have yet to ride that wave. You know, they're out there in the surf, but they haven't yet experienced that power. They've doggy paddled in the current a little bit, and I guess it's a little fun, but they haven't experienced that thrill of being completely overwhelmed by Him inside. And they can't quite imagine yet, what is the big deal? You know, it has always been that way in church. Even in the book of Acts, even in the very beginning, we read that there were those who received Christ and experienced the power of the Spirit, and then there were others who attended their worship gatherings as spectators. It was that way in Corinth, and it is still that way today. So here's my question this morning. Have you experienced the Holy Spirit's power? Looking at Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2, I see six demonstrations of the Spirit's powers. And I want to ask if you've experienced these six demonstrations of the Spirit's power. The first one is supernatural persuasion. What makes the gospel absolutely distinct from every other religion? In chapters 1 and 2 of this letter, Paul actually shares four things that makes the gospel distinct. The first is the passion of Christ, Christ crucified. There are many religions in the world today, but only Christianity has a cross. No other God anywhere in the world, called by any other name, has ever done what Jesus did for us. No other God lived a selfless life of compassion and moral perfection like Jesus did. No other God offered His own blood as a sacrifice to atone for our sins like Jesus did. No other God took our penalty on Himself like Jesus did. The second distinctive is the people that God has chosen to become His trophies of grace. During the Soviet era, the Russians went around the globe to every underdeveloped country, and they identified the brightest and the best young people in those countries. And they brought them to Russia, and they offered them a free education, free secondary education, free university education, graduate education, and the plan was to convert them to communism. And then send them back to their native countries to become leaders in business and in politics and in society and convert those countries over to communism from the inside out. This will actually be our third trip to Ukraine, and we have met several pastors there who were among some of these young people brought from other countries, but the plan backfired. Instead of becoming good communists, they became good Christians, and now they pastor churches of tens of thousands of ex-communists in that country. But you know, God's strategy in the world is precisely opposite of the Soviets. God didn't go looking for the brightest and the best. He chooses to show His grace to the unimpressive and the unpromising, and then He elevates them and He uses them to do unbelievable things in the world. Remember what Paul said in chapter 1, brothers, remember what you were when God called you. He didn't choose you because you were special. He chose you especially because you weren't special. The third distinctive, now I just dissed you, now I'll diss myself. The third distinctive is the preachers and their preaching that God uses to persuade people to believe in Jesus. Paul says, I didn't come to you with superior wisdom and eloquence. I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling. My message wasn't with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. In Paul's day, the Greeks had traveling speakers, and they loved to go listen to these guys for entertainment. Maybe you could imagine a cross between a spoken word poet, a motivational speaker, and a stand-up comic. These speakers, they combined philosophy and poetry and artistry and irony and wit, and they were all easy on the eyes. A lot like our celebrities today. They were showered with admiration, they were showered with applause, and they were considered to be authorities on the issues of life. Did you see Leonardo DiCaprio speaking on the floor of the United Nations a couple of weeks ago about global warming? I guess portraying a guy who drowned in ice water has made him a scientific expert to speak on the issue of climate change. Paul had a colleague named Apollos, whose speaking style was very similar to these traveling Greek speakers, and the Corinthian church loved Apollos for that. But Paul's preaching was very different. Paul said, I was with you in weakness, and my speaking wasn't witty or entertaining as I told you about Christ crucified. When Paul says that he was weak, it doesn't mean he was sick. What he means is that there was nothing particularly compelling about his stage presence. He was neither handsome, nor naturally charismatic, nor charming, nor captivating. From a believer in the church in Iconium, we have what we believe to be an authentic physical description of Paul. He was short. He was bald. He was bow-legged. Apparently, he was very physically fit, but he had a unibrow. And he had a big nose. Paul wasn't a looker. But the description goes on to say that when he preached, sometimes his face shone like the face of an angel. You know, that's the anointing that I want. I don't want a TV anointing that comes from a Botox needle or from a plastic surgeon's scalpel. I want the real anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes a man's face shine with the glory of God. His speaking was simplistic, and the Corinthians criticized him for that. But Paul had a reason for his simplicity. It was out of reverence for God. He says fear and trembling. Paul was mindful that his was a holy calling, and out of holy reverence and fear, he refused to become an entertainer, attracting attention to himself. He pointed all the attention to God. Nevertheless, in spite of his very ordinary presence and presentation, the Corinthians were persuaded to believe on Jesus. And that's the fourth distinguishing thing about the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit. Every religion has people. Every religion has preachers and preaching of some kind, but only Christianity has a crucified Savior, and only Christianity has the power of the Holy Spirit who supernaturally persuades people to believe. It wasn't through my stage presence, it wasn't through my flowery presentation, but it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that you were persuaded to believe. I wonder, when was that moment that the Holy Spirit persuaded you? One of my Messianic Jewish friends shared about his moment with me. From boyhood, he could not stand the name of Jesus. He didn't really know why. He wasn't from a particularly observant Jewish family, but he said literally every time he heard the name of Jesus, it made him cringe inside. He grew up to become a very successful professional in New York. And one day during his commute home, he was flipping through radio stations, and he happened to come across a radio preacher, and he decided to listen in for a while purely for amusement. He wanted to poke fun at the preacher's rhetoric and poke holes in his flimsy logic. But day after day, he started listening to this guy on his way home again and again and again until one day he was driving home and it was Christmas Eve. And that night, when that preacher said the name of Jesus, he said it was like the sound of 1,000 church bells going off in his head. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he became persuaded by the power of the Holy Spirit. He walked through the front door of his house and said to his wife, who was not Jewish, she was a Christian, he said to her very matter-of-factly, I think I just became a Christian. When was your moment of supernatural persuasion? When were you captured in a wave of God's presence that overwhelmed every rational objection and overrode every fear that you had? Where were you? Were you in a church service like this one? I met a guy who, after our first service, he was here at Harvest Time for the first time today, and I met him back in the prayer room after the service, and he said to me, Pastor Glenn, I think I became a Christian today. Where were you? Were you at a table with friends? Were you riding in your car? I was alone in my bed. What was the moment like for you? You know, it's different for every one of us. For some people, it comes with tears of joy. For some people, it comes with great trembling. For me, it simply came with a quiet knowing that God was with me now. But my question is, have you had that moment? Have you caught that wave? Have you experienced the Spirit's persuasive power in your heart? Six demonstrations, along with supernatural persuasion, is supernatural transformation. Paul says in verse 12 that everyone who believes receives the Spirit of God. There are many religions in the world, and every one of those has demonic spirits attached to it, but only the gospel is accompanied by the Holy Spirit who comes from God. And the Holy Spirit radically transforms us. Paul says, we speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Listen, that word mature, it applies to every believer in Christ. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're mature. Paul is not comparing. In chapter 2, Paul is not comparing immature Christians and mature Christians. He does do that in chapter 3, and Pastor Nick's going to explain that to you next week. But here in chapter 2, Paul is calling all believers mature. Galatians 4 sheds more light on that. In Galatians 4, Paul says, when we were children, we were in slavery to the world. But now in Christ, we have become mature. We have become full-grown sons. And God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, by which we cry, Abba. So we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and heirs. So what does mature mean? Well, one thing, mature means that the Holy Spirit has given us a radical new identity. The Holy Spirit is the link between God and us. He creates a family bond between us and the Father. He assures me that I am God's child and that God is my Father. So we no longer feel a bond of affinity with the world, but we feel a bond of affinity with the Father. We have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, Paul says, but the Spirit who is from God. So mature means I have a whole new set of family values now. I have a whole new set of priorities now. I have a whole new worldview now. I have a whole new purpose in life. Jesus called this work of the Spirit a radical rebirth. I have been born again. I have lost the taste for my old life, and I am now hungry for my new life in Him. Have you experienced that? Mature also means that the Holy Spirit has given us a radical new wholeness. That word mature, it means complete. It means whole. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our sin-broken heart, and He puts it back together, and He makes it whole again. Paul said God pours His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. His love heals my broken heart. It makes me feel fulfilled. It makes me feel secure. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be the executor of our inheritance of Jesus' own peace. You remember what Jesus said when He was teaching about the Holy Spirit? He said, "My peace I give you, my shalom I leave with you." That word shalom means nothing is missing and nothing is broken. So Jesus' shalom is the wholeness of His own personhood that He has bequeathed to me and of which I am now an heir. And the Holy Spirit is the one who administrates that to me. The Holy Spirit gives to me Jesus' own inner strength, Jesus' own emotional health, Jesus' own clarity of thought, Jesus' own good decision-making ability, Jesus' own resoluteness of will. The Holy Spirit gives all that to me. That's why Paul said, now we have the mind of Christ if we have the Holy Spirit. Listen, to men, the Holy Spirit gives perfect masculinity. To women, the Holy Spirit gives perfect femininity. There's no need for gender confusion. Listen, I say this with sincerity, with love, with compassion. You don't have to be confused about what restroom or what locker room you belong in if you're in Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit makes you whole to be everything that God created you to be. Mature means that the Holy Spirit has given us a radical new freedom. Paul says here, this is a good verse. I'm about to make myself happy. Paul says here in verse 15 that we who have the Spirit are no longer subject to the scathing criticisms of unbelievers. They don't understand us. People without the Spirit don't understand us. They cannot understand us. And they will absolutely criticize us, but we are free from their censure. See, the Holy Spirit has set me free from the unholy drivenness of the world. He set me free from their insecurities and their competitiveness, the compulsions and compunctions, the unholy fascinations to which they are captive, the wisdom of the world, which is futile and fleeting and is passing away. I am set free in Christ from all of those things. I'm whole, I'm complete. I'm no longer driven by the need to please other. I'm compelled by love to please my Father. I'm no longer driven by the need to belong in this world. I am perfectly secure belonging to Abba, my Father. This is a good preaching right here. I just made myself happy. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have been united to Christ by faith, then mature is what you already are. You are reborn. You are complete in Him. You are whole in Him. You are free in Him. So act like it. Have you caught that wave? Have you experienced that awesome transforming power of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Six demonstrations of the Spirit's power. Number three, I'm getting tired, y'all. It's been a big morning. Help me through. Number three, supernatural confirmation of our glorious destination. Not only does the Holy Spirit assure us that we belong to God, but He assures us that our ultimate destiny is the glory of God. Paul says here, the Holy Spirit helps us grasp the magnitude of what God has freely given us in Jesus Christ. Here's what He helps us to grasp. That before time even began, God has destined for us to share in His glory. Listen, I love to talk about heaven. I don't think we talk about heaven nearly enough these days. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, I have to tell you that our ultimate destination goes even beyond heaven. Our ultimate destination is God's own glory. In some way that exceeds my ability to explain to you, God is going to share some of His own glory with us. The glory that is His, He is going to confer upon us. We're going to become partakers of it, partners in it. In some way that I can't explain to you, we are going to become like Him. In all of eternity, nothing has ever yet been seen like what we are destined to become. Peter said, even the angels long to look into these things and understand them. John said, it has not yet appeared what we shall become, but when He comes, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What things eyes have never seen, what things ears have never heard, what the heart of a man has never even imagined, these are the glories that God has prepared for us, and He assures us that it is so by His Holy Spirit. Have you caught that wave? Have you experienced inside of you the assurance of heaven is the hope of glory burning bright and alive inside of you? I want to tell you something. When you have the hope of glory inside of you, you can face anything that life throws at you. You can face anything that the world throws at you. You can face anything that the devil throws at you. It doesn't matter. It's transitory. I consider our present sufferings aren't worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed inside of us. And And the Holy Spirit is the one who assures us that it is so. Paul prayed in Romans. He said, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, hope may abound in you. Let me tell you, I pray that for someone in here, you need to hear this word. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may hope abound inside of you, beginning right now. Hope for your home, hope for your marriage, hope for your children, hope for your health. You shall not die. You shall live and you shall declare the works of the Lord. May God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to stay where you are today. Your journey doesn't finish right here. It doesn't end like this. It ends much better. It ends in the glory of God. God is going to lead you through. If he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. May the hope of God abound inside of you today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Six demonstrations of the Spirit's power. Number four, supernatural revelation. These verses in 1 Corinthians 2 are important to the doctrine of the Trinity. They're important to the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross, he was the Lord of glory. It's important to the doctrine of the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit understands all the depths of God because he is God. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal God to us. There is no other means by which we can know God. We cannot know God through the pursuit of our own reason. We cannot know God through the pursuit of any other religion. No other spirit being can reveal the true God of heaven to us. Only the Holy Spirit who comes from God. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand the significance of the cross. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he breathed on the Holy Spirit, on the disciples, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And Luke says that he opened their minds and he enabled them to understand all the scriptures about the cross. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, it illumines our minds so that we can understand that the power of God for salvation comes through the crucified Lord of glory. The rulers of the world who crucified Jesus didn't understand it. They still don't get it today. It's all right. They're passing away. But we understand it by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to feel God's priorities and discern his activities in our day. Through the Spirit, Paul said, we are able to make judgments about all things. The Holy Spirit enables us to see God's perspective on everything that's happening around us and to know how God wants to respond through us. You've been watching the headlines this week? It was a dilly this week. By Thursday, I decided to just shut off the news and speak in tongues. It was a lot better. It was a rough week. I don't know, Shazam. I preached about four signs of the end of time, and like all four of them just erupted this last week. I better preach better things this week, I think. But the Holy Spirit, God has a perspective on what's happening in our world. And the Holy Spirit gives us the mind of Christ. He gives us God's perspective on it and lets us know how God wants to respond in the world through us. And he helps us to know in every situation, every moment of every day, what Jesus would do. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I taught. That doesn't mean that he helps you to remember every verse in red word for word. What that means is that in the moment, the Holy Spirit comes to you and he helps you know in the heat of the moment how to act, how to respond, how to behave like Jesus. Have you caught that wave? Have you experienced the mind of Christ through the power of the Spirit? Number five, six demonstrations. Number five. Okay, take a deep breath. Participation in supernatural communication. Participation in supernatural communication. Paul said, we speak words taught to us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. Listen, stay with me. The same speech that the Holy Spirit used to get to you, now the Holy Spirit begins to minister through you. You begin sharing with others, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit takes over your mouth. You begin speaking with a persuasive intensity. You begin speaking with an earnestness and with an authority. And you're like, where'd that come from? All of a sudden, you speak words and they begin to give life to people, lift them up. They begin to encourage them. You know what? I have this little thing going on at the bank where I do my banking over in Glenville. I walked in one day and the Holy Spirit told me to say to the teller, everything's going to be all right. So I walked up to her and I said, everything. I said, the Lord says to you, everything's going to be all right. She broke down in tears, started crying. She said, thank you. I need to hear that. I need to hear that. I need to hear that. Well, so far, I've performed 2 weddings for tellers at the bank, and I'm doing marriage counseling for 3 other couples all connected to the bank. All because one day the Holy Spirit helped me speak spiritual truths in spiritual words that just persuaded someone and moved their heart and changed them. And we become partners in that. We begin to move in that. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you to persuade and to transform someone else. 6 demonstrations of the Spirit's power. Finally this, and worship team, you can come rescue me. Supernatural manifestations. Paul said, my stage presence and my presentation were unimpressive, but my message came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That word demonstration is unique in the New Testament. It means rigorous proof. And all of these things, all of these activities of the Holy Spirit, they are rigorous proof that this gospel of the cross of Christ is true. The supernatural persuasion, the transformation, the inner confirmation that we have a glorious destination, the revelation that comes to us, participation in inspired communication, all of these things, they are all rigorous proof. But the icing on the cake is the supernatural moving of God in the midst of his people. In the opening lines of Corinthians, Paul says that the charismata, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are sure guarantees that this message of the cross is true. He mentions in the opening lines of Corinthians specifically, gifts of the Holy Spirit that relate to prophetic revelation and to inspired utterances. He says, you have become enriched by the Spirit through the charismata, through the grace given by the Spirit. You've become enriched in all your knowing and in all your speaking. So he's talking about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to get there someday. It might take us a while to get through 1 Corinthians. Maybe in the new year we'll get to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But these things are rigorous evidence that the gospel is true. The supernatural activity of God in the midst of his people. The palpable, awe-inspiring presence of God. Gifts of revelation. Have you ever had somebody just give you a prophetic word, and in that word, God uses a human mouthpiece to disclose the deepest whispers of your heart? Things that you have said to God that only you and God know, that no one else could possibly know. And God uses in a moment a human mouthpiece to repeat those deepest whispers of your heart back to you in the very words in which you uttered them to God. And you know in that moment that the God of heaven, that the God who made the earth and everything in it, that the God who rules the universe knows your name. He knows your address. He knows what's going on with you. He knows the road that you take, that he knows you intimately. I want to tell you, if you have an encounter with God like that through an exercise of the gift, that's what happened with the woman at the well. Jesus was used in a word of knowledge, and he said, go call your husband, knowing full well that she had had a revolving door of broken relationships in her lives. And when Jesus used that gift of the Holy Spirit, it totally opened up that woman's heart. She ran around and said, come see a man who told me everything bad I ever did. Tongues and interpretation, prophecy. You know, we had back in our old building in the gymnasium years ago, we had a woman who was visiting, Mexican woman. She was a supermodel in New York City. And someone gave a prophetic word about a little bird. little bird didn't make sense to anybody in the room, but little bird happened to be that woman's father's nickname for her. And no one else in the room knew what was going on in that moment, but when she heard a word from heaven addressed to little bird, she knew God was speaking directly to her, and she gave her heart to Jesus that day, became a believer, led many, many, many people to Jesus Christ. Miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, the moving of God's Spirit among His people, that is the sure proof, that is the sure evidence that this gospel of Jesus Christ is true. Have you experienced those things? Have you caught the wave? Have you experienced the overwhelming presence of God? Last week I talked about signs of the times, and I talked about four things that the Word says about these times. The Word says, in the last days, demonically ferocious times will come. And boy, we're sure living that. We're sure seeing that every day. In Houston, I have to tell you, I'm charged up about it. In Houston, Texas, the mayor subpoenaed sermons of pastors. She's a lesbian. And the city council, at her behest, put through an ordinance in the city that people who are gender confused can use whatever restroom they want to use. What could possibly go wrong there? I have to tell you the truth. Listen to me. You just wait to see the lawsuits that start coming out of schools where people go into whatever locker room, whatever washroom they feel comfortable using. Just wait to see what happens when sexual predators start going into whatever restroom they choose to go in and do whatever it is that they want to do in there. The city council ramrodded it through, even though 82% of the population was opposed to it. And when it passed, they immediately circulated a petition and gathered triple or quadruple the signatures they needed and filed it with the city. And the city attorney tossed it out. And in reprisal, the mayor started subpoenaing sermons and pastors' communications, their private communications, their emails, communications, letters that they may have written to their congregation. Let me tell you something, beloved. When the government starts to issue subpoenas for sermon notes, it is on like Donkey Kong. They can have my notes. Everything I preach is up on YouTube, so they don't have to issue a subpoena. They can just listen to the Word of God. They might hear some good preaching. Who knows? In the last days, terrible times will come. But that's not all the Word says about the last days. You see, God has the last word on the last days. And what God says is, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All over the world, the Spirit of God is moving like the waters cover the sea. God says, you want to know my answer to the last days? I'm going to anoint your sons and your daughters, and they're going to prophesy. They're going to speak the truth of the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to cut through, and it's going to pierce the hearts of men and persuade them. So I want to share with you an experience I had in Indonesia just a couple of weeks ago. First time I've taught in Malaysia for several years now, my first time teaching at the School of Acts in Indonesia. And I got up on the first morning of the first day, and I started with what I always start with. No matter where I am, every membership class I do here at Harvest Time, I start with this. Everywhere I'm privileged to go speak, I share this everywhere. It's the prayer of Moses in Exodus 33. God, consider this as your people. God, teach us your ways. Heaven's strategies that bring heaven's results. And now, God, show us your glory. And so I taught that the very first class session at the School of Acts in Indonesia. We were supposed to break for tea. And just before tea break, I asked all the students to stand, and I asked them if they wanted to pray that prayer with me. And so we started. God, consider we are your people. Don't go looking for another people. God, consider we are the people who will be your instruments in the world. We want to be the bearers of your glory. God, teach us your ways, heaven strategies that release heaven's results. And then we got to the line that says, now, God, show me your glory. When we said it, I immediately heard a big thunk in the room. And I looked over and my translator had just fallen right out in the spirit. She's going to be here in a couple weeks on our missions weekend. She's an Indonesian named Sulu. Her husband is an American missionary, and they're going to be with us on our missions weekend. She just fell right over in the spirit. And then something happened that I have never experienced before. 40 years in Pentecost, and I've never felt it like this. Literally, the literal physical wind of God blew through that classroom. It started on one side of the room and it blew from one side of the room to the other. Literally, the manifestation of it was so strong that it blew the curtains off the curtain hooks, and every single person in that room, as it traveled from one end to the other, got absolutely plastered by the Holy Spirit, myself included. We didn't have tea break that day. In fact, we didn't have lunch break that day. I left late in the afternoon and came back to start teaching again at 5:30 at night, and there were still people all over the floor who couldn't get up because the presence and the power of God was so strong on them. There was one poor girl, she tried to get up about 5 times. She was crawling down the center aisle, and every time she tried to get up, she finally gave up, and halfway down the aisle, she was still there at 5:30 in the evening when I came back to start the evening class. And here's what I want to tell you. The same Holy Spirit, the same wind of God that blew in a classroom in Indonesia, that same Holy Spirit is here with us today. So would you like, in the closing moments of this service, to just simply invite him to come? Would you like to invite him to come and overwhelm you, to persuade you, to transform you, to convince you, to reveal the mind of Christ to you, to use you? Would you like to invite the Holy Spirit to come? If you would, I want to ask you to just stand right where you are. And I want to ask you to just lift your face to heaven and lift your hands to heaven. And I want to ask you to just pray an ancient prayer of the church with me. It's real easy. It just 3 words. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you lift your face to heaven? Would you lift your hands to heaven? Have you experienced the power of the Spirit? Would you like to experience him today? Then let's invite him to come right now. Lift your face to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, just say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. Come on, there's an old song we used to sing. We haven't done it in a while, but maybe you'll remember it. It says, Holy Spirit, rain down. Would you sing it with me?
And Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain. Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. And come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit.
In those moments when people get overwhelmed by the presence of God, I don't really know. Jesus called it the indescribable work of the Holy Spirit. The wind comes. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes, but you feel its effect. I don't know what God does in those moments, but I know that somehow He persuades. I know somehow He transforms. I know somehow He makes whole. I know somehow He makes heal. He makes free. I know somehow He heals. I don't know what the Holy Spirit does, but I see the effect of it. I see the lasting impact of it. And if you'd like to invite the Holy Spirit with me to just come and demonstrate His power to you, persuading and transforming, healing, convincing, I want to ask you, just step out of your seat. Just come right down here to the altar with me. And if you're coming, come all the way to the front. Come all the way to the very front step so those who are coming behind you can fill in. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and do the indescribable work that only He can do. Come on, sing while you come.
Holy Spirit, rain. Oh, rain down. We sing and rain down. No comforter ever. How we need your touch again. Spirit, rain down. Oh, and rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit.
Listen, I want everyone to just put your hand on your head right now, if you would. Just put your hand on your head and let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to us the mind of Christ. Listen to me, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I cancel every diagnosis of bipolar disorder. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I cancel every diagnosis of manic depression. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I cancel every diagnosis of anxiety. In Jesus' name, I rebuke insomnia. The shalom of Jesus, the wholeness of Jesus, nothing missing and nothing broken is being ministered to you right now. Every spirit of hopelessness, I rebuke in Jesus' name, and I replace it with the shalom, the wholeness of Jesus, the mind of Christ. You are free in Jesus. You're free from all the pressure of the world. You're free from the competitiveness of the world. You're free from the criticisms of the world. You're free from their censure. You're free to love your Father. You're free to pursue what pleases your Father. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of learning disability, every ADHD and ADD, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Autism, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And I speak the shalom, the wholeness of Jesus, ministered right now by the Holy Spirit. You are mature. Come on, put your hand on your heart right now. Put your hand on your heart. Father, right now, by the Holy Spirit, I pray you would pour the love of God into your people that makes us whole, Lord. Father, I pray that you would pour the love of God. Lord, someone was abused as a child. Someone was neglected as a child. Someone was physically abused. Someone was verbally and emotionally abused. And right now, the power of the love of the Holy Spirit is pouring into your heart and He's healing that broken. Someone was abandoned by your parents and you've longed your whole life to know your Father. You know your Heavenly Father now. The Holy Spirit assures you that you're connected to your Father and He's connected to you. You don't need to look anymore for your earthly Father. Just look up to your heavenly Father.